Give me an M.
M.
Give me an A.
A.
Give me a U.
U.
Give me an L.
L.
Give me your money.
Sure.
What's that spell?
Mall.
What's that spell?
Shopping mall.
Recorded message from Quest to let you know that your recent request for products or services was completed and the service is available for your use. At Quest, customer satisfaction is important to us. If your service is not working properly or you have any questions, please call us at 1-800-573-1311. Thank you for choosing Quest. That number again is 1-800-573-1311.
So she took me back to the room upstairs, watching her roll up the buns in her hair. I do declare that I'd like to be Luke. Lest that's a bit too perverted for you. I could be Jabba, a Jawa, an Ewok when we talk, a Weedock, a Begok. That's a mighty fine bikini you're wearing. Shows off what you got. Don't be ashamed. One fine view of Chewbacca you're giving me, lower that down here, and I'll be living the linguistic protocol droid. The thing comes apart when I'm not overjoyed. With all the flicks that I've seen, all the books that I read, I don't remember a character who was tied to the bed. But hey, baby, it's all right. I'll just pretend that I'm encased in carbonite.
The number called has been changed to telephone number 0171891 4567.
Kein Anschluss unter dieser Nummer.
Слушаем номер Союза.
Набранный вами номер не существует.
您拨的号码不存在，请查询后再拨，谢谢。
This is the Goat Roper, and you're listening to Radio Freak America. Technology, privacy, and freedom around the world.
RFA 94 with Duel. I'm Duel. And Bland.
I'm Bland.
You are Bland, and I am Duel. Bland, you are. This is going to be a different show. How so? Well, it's going to be different in that we will be making calls. Yes, phone calls, lots of phone calls, hopefully lots of phone calls, but not just your average everyday contiguous 48, even the 50 U.S. states. No, we're going to be calling other countries. Yes, international calls, lots of international calls. Well, let's get to that in a moment. And actually, here, I'll tell you right now what the format of the show is going to be. We're going to have this intro, right, what you're hearing right now. We're going to talk about a few things, preface everything. We're going to cut it. We're going to splice in all the calls because, we just want to make sure everything works out well so it's easier if we record them and then put them in. And then possibly something at the end. It may be an hour, maybe not, whatever. We're not going to be streaming this week. In fact, you're listening to this, you downloaded it because of these Christian holidays, quote, holidays, right, that we have to deal with. So I'm sure you have to deal with them as well. Let's start with some good news. Believe it or freaking not, some good news. And Bland is the bearer of this good news. Bland.
Oh, well, that's how I like it.
Bear?
Yes, bear. Oh, Lord.
Okay. I'm sorry.
No, it's cool. We have, and, you know, because it is this Hanukkah, Kwanzaa, non-denominational winter holiday, of your choosing, I have not one, but two pieces of good news.
Holy moly. No, Bland, don't.
And not only that, but as a, as a special bonus to RSA downloaders, they are related.
Really?
They are, in fact.
This is just too much. Please.
Oh, yes. This comes from the BBC, so you know it's credible. John Johansson, the guy that wrote DCSS.
DVD John.
John, as some people affectionately refer to him. I've personally never heard him called anything like that, except when I hear him referred to in, like, in the news. Like, he's John Johansson.
Absolutely.
Like, to me. And it's important. And I'll chase a rabbit here. It's important to, if you're going to, like, be public, and if you're going to, especially what he's doing, like, he's standing up for what's right, and he is quite possibly facing the litigation so that, you know, future coders and future, you know, aspiring programmers, Linux application developers, and even Windows application developers won't have to face it. So, you know, if he's DVD John, that kind of devalues him. It makes him sound like a game show contestant.
Absolutely. Makes him sound like a gangster.
Yeah, instead of who he is. And so, it's, you know, it's important.
Some
important.
John Markoff made that up, and it rolled, dude. It rolled.
Okay, but anyway, John Johansson, a Norwegian appeals court has cleared him of all of his piracy charges. Now, what happened was, and this goes back, and you can hear about this, there's an H2K2 panel, DCSS, that you should go and listen to if you want some backstory. But what happened was, in a nutshell, is he created a program called DCSS, and what it does is it decrypts DVDs so that you can watch them on Linux, because at the time there was no Linux DVD player.
It does not copy DVDs.
That's not copy. That's not back. That's not even back them up. That's not even call me Big Daddy when you back that thing up. That's simply the ability to view a DVD on your Linux-based computer. What happened? You got sued. DMCA style. They said that was a circumvention device, and it could be used to pirate DVDs, and since he's into Linux and he's one of those computer nerds, that's got to be obviously what it's used for. All right, this is another, that's a whole other thing we could go down. But anyway, so John Johansson coded DCSS, got sued, and he's been just pretty much ping-ponged around in court. You know, Americans, you know, this guy's Norwegian, mind you. He's not even American. So the RIAA wanted to sue him under the DMCA. No, the MPAA, I'm sorry. Wanted to sue him under the DMCA because he, a man in another country who does not live under American rule and, in fact, does not even deal with the MPAA. He deals with, like, the Norwegian branch or whatever. So, they sued him, and he appealed it, and he, like, won an appeal, and then they appealed that, and they won that appeal, and it's just been a big deal. But today being the 22nd of December, the court, I'll just read this from BBC, the court upheld an earlier verdict that John Johansson, 20 years old, had not broken the law by creating a system that could get around copy protection on DVDs. The ruling is a setback to anti-piracy efforts by the Hollywood studios. The MPAA said it was disappointed by the court's decision, saying that it encouraged others to circumvent copyright controls.
Uh-huh.
They said it as though it were a bad thing. Now, the case was seen as a major test of Norway's computer protection laws. Mr. Johansson, known as DVD John by the net community, it must not be the same net that I use. At any rate, he created his program to watch films on a Linux-based computer. He then, in open-source fashion, posted the program onto the net in 1999. His software called DCSS could decrypt disks by stripping the content scrambling system from DVDs. The U.S. movie industry had accused DVD John of theft. He hadn't stolen anything, mind you. He just wanted to watch a DVD in Linux.
That is evil.
Somehow watching a DVD in Linux constitutes theft. And I'm not real sure about that, but...
You have to watch it on their approved players plan now. Come on.
Oh, that's true. I forgot about that.
Yeah.
And you have to pay them royalties for it. Anyway.
Right, and you have to only watch the regions that you're allowed to watch.
Mm-hmm. Because region-free DVD players actually promote theft, because that means we can all buy, you know, Asian DVDs, you know, like the Asian bootlegs or whatever.
Right, and not Asian porn.
No, not Asian porn. I'm talking about Asian versions of, like, you know, Mona Lisa Smile.
Yeah,
you know, when it was in the movie theater, like right now.
Right, the you know, the Chinese, you know, Titanic, yeah.
Yeah, because we all know how captivating it is in Cantonese. anyway, let's see. But here's the good news. But an Oslo court said in January 2003 that he was free to do what he wanted with DVDs he bought legally. Now the appeals court, and this, the MPAA, appealed this ruling. But the appeals court has agreed with the original ruling, the good ruling, throwing out the case of the MPAA. In her 30-minute ruling, the judge said that Johansson could freely copy DVDs he had bought, adding he had not violated Norway's laws protecting intellectual property. In a statement, the MPAA said it was disappointed by the ruling, but it is not clear whether it will take the case to Norway's Supreme Court.
Oh my God.
The actions of serial hackers such as Mr. Johansson are damaging to honest consumers everywhere. While this ruling does not affect laws outside of Norway, we believe this decision encourages circumvention of copyright that threatens consumer choice and employment in the film and television industries. The Hollywood studios say piracy costs them $3 billion a year in lost sales.
Oh, the veins in my head hurt. it cost them three, how much, billion?
A billion.
Cost them $3 billion, $3 billion, okay. I wonder what their net profits are. You know, the conglomerate, the groups that make up the MPAA. I wonder. Is it just me, or did Return of the King make, you know, $75 million in a weekend?
Yeah, it whaps, and like every other record.
Yeah, yeah, so, okay, and they're losing lots of money. Okay, so it's damaging. Yeah, serial hackers are going to destroy the American media conglomerates.
And that's the thing. Can DVD John inject shellcode?
Absolutely, I'm sure he could.
You know what I mean? I mean, it's not, whether he's a hacker or not, I'll leave to everyone else to decide. But this guy is a coder. He wrote some code. And it's just, that's like the negative slant. I mean, this, we're not even talking. When did hacker come into this?
No. Well, hold on a second. Let's, now, to us, right, the pure definition of hacker, he is that, right? He wanted to do something, and he came up with a unique solution on his own. A beautiful solution.
Yeah, that's hacking in its purest, most crystalline form.
Absolutely, but to stick the word serial in front of it and use a negative connotation in the media like that is absolutely horrid, and I'm literally rubbing my temples right now. They used serial, right? That was a quote, correct?
Yeah, that last bit that I read was the MPAA statement.
Right, that's, I mean, serial, what do you think of? You think of serial killers, don't you? Yes, you do. Those words were carefully chosen.
No one, you know, there's no, you know, just like there's no such thing as a gruntled postal worker.
Yeah.
You know, there's no such thing as, like, a serial charity donator.
Yeah, exactly.
You know? A serial philanthropist.
Yeah. That is very good news, Bland.
Thank you. And I got one for one that, you know, if you're not if you're not into Linux, and if you're specifically not into watching DVDs on Linux, and if you are, well, you should be, but if you're not overly concerned about what's deemed and what isn't deemed fair use, and you're more of the peer-to-peer type person, this next story, the next bit of good news that I have for everybody, will help you out. This is from Reuters, by the way. The RIAA, a trade group, has sought to force Verizon Communications, my ISP, and other internet service providers to reveal the names of subscribers it suspects may be copying music without permission. The recording industry says the widespread copying of music over the internet is partially to blame for falling CD sales.
Not crappy music or high prices.
Yeah, not mass-produced. Yeah, not Britney Spears.
Gotcha.
It's never their fault.
Right.
Verizon has argued that existing copyright law does not give the RIAA such authority, and its customers' privacy was being violated. This is, again, I'm proud of my ISP. A lower court earlier this year upheld the RIAA's tactics, which have served as the basis for hundreds of lawsuits filed against individual internet users. But, in a strongly worded ruling, the appeals court sided with Verizon, saying a 1998 copyright law does not give copyright holders the ability to subpoena customer names from internet providers without filing a formal lawsuit. Chief Judge Douglas Ginsburg's ruling was that, in sum, we agree with Verizon that the law does not, by its terms, authorize the subpoenas issued here. That's good.
Very.
Now, what they're going to have to do now, they've been issuing all their subpoenas in D.C. because, you know, they've got their lobbyists and they got everything else. They can get these things fast-tracked and just essentially rubber-stamped. So they're not allowed to do that anymore. Now they're having to file John Doe subpoenas, which means if they want to subpoena you, they'll have to file it against your IP, and, you know, then your internet provider will have to, you know, go back and do all that, and then it will be you. So what they were doing is they were getting, like, an IP address, trying to force Verizon and other internet providers to just hand over your information.
They were.
Yeah. And then they can sue you directly. Now, what this ruling does, in essence, is it makes the process a little longer because they'll have to, you know, they have to play by the rules now of, like, you know, the Fourth Amendment. But also, it provides potential embarrassment, because these things are John Doe lawsuits. So what happens if Jack Valenti's grandson, you know what I mean?
Right.
What happens if the Bush daughters are downloading music?
What happened if Gore's son is smoking dope? Oops! I'm sorry. More than that, I think it's going to be expensive. I think it's going to cost them more money.
A lot more.
And they're in dire straits, Bland.
Oh, I know. With that $3 billion.
They can barely keep themselves in caviar and H2s. Bland, we've got to help the RIA. And how can we help the RIA? I'm glad you asked. You can share music. That's right. Share music as much as you can. Please. Sharing is good.
Especially if you're in Canada.
Yeah.
Third piece of good news.
Whoa, you said two. I don't know if I can handle three.
Now, warning, listeners, stick around if you don't mind some cream in your jeans. If you're wearing, you know, nice khakis or whatever, and you're a Canuck, please turn on the volume for about the next 15 seconds. Okay, I've given them time to do that.
All right.
Okay, the Copyright Board of Canada imposed a government fee of as much as $25 on iPod-like MP3 players. putting the devices in the same categories as audio tapes and blank CDs. The money collected from levies on recording mediums goes into a fund to pay musicians and songwriters for revenues lost from consumers' personal copying. Manufacturers are responsible for paying the fees and often pass the cost on to consumers. That's fair. The peer-to-peer component of the decision was prompted by questions from consumer and entertainment groups about ambiguous elements of Canadian law. Previously, most analysts had said uploading was illegal, but that downloading for personal use might be allowed. As far as computer hard drives are concerned, we say that for the time being, it is still legal, said the Secretary General of the Copyright Board.
Huh. You know what I picture? Do you know what I foresee, Bland?
You see, me and you buying heavier coats and saying eh a lot?
Yeah, pretty much. I also... Oh, my head is throbbing. My God. This really sucks. I think it's an aneurysm I asked for Christmas. I think I just got it. I got it early. I foresee hackers, right? Some hackers somewhere taking, right? Probably in Canada. Those little mini form boxes. Oh man, I don't even know the name of them. I remember the old cubes, but I don't know the companies that make them. Those tiny, tiny little cases, right? The mini ITX. I don't know what the name of it is. People making and using those as portable MP3 players, maybe even something smaller, right? The smallest thing you can find and using them, right? Screw that. People are going to find a way around all this crap. Can't use an iPod? I'll make my own. I really believe it. I believe that. You watch. People won't stand for that kind of crap.
No, that's not... Yeah, that.
But to say... absolutely. Downloading for personal use is okay. They really said that.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they didn't... Well... They said it may be, right? I mean, Stank and I talked about this. They talked about the levies on the... Because Gluka brought it up, talked about the levies on the CDs, and now they're putting iPods in the same group. That's fine, whatever. But, I don't know, that's nothing to stand behind. That's a good... It's a good feeling, you know? I think it is very good news.
Now, the interesting thing is to, from, you know, I'm an armchair psychologist and an armchair sociologist. But the difference between the Canadian RIAA and the American RIAA, I guess RIAC, but you know what I mean, the Canadian counterparts to the RIAA. See, what they did to try to stem, piracy, sharing, whatever you want to call it, they tried to, like, make it economically unfeasible. Like, if you were paying, you know, to them, in a perfect world, if you were paying, you know, $8, $9, 12 bones, whatever, for a blank CD that you were going to download music and burn it on, then you may as well spend that same $12 on the CD and you get the liner notes and all that, right? So they're, you know, they're putting these taxes on, like, iPods and stuff like that, trying to make them economically, you know, cost prohibitive. And that's kind of under the table, and it's kind of, you know, it's not overt, it's not, you know, it's just the way things are. But how does the RIAA do it? Sue, subpoena your IP, you know, bring it down, G-men are coming to your house, you know, just fear.
Right. Well, that's the American way.
Oh, yeah, fear is definitely the American way.
The thing is, both of them are not going to work. You know, it doesn't matter. That's what, all right. Back to the law. Yeah, that's. I'm sorry, it wasn't a law, right? Back to the statement that Canadian. What was it? The Copyright Board, something like that.
Yeah, the Secretary General of the Copyright Board.
Right. He said, okay, downloading for personal use may be legal, right? Well, until they say it is legal and it's documented, whatever, right? It's just it's feel good right now, and it does feel good. Now. To their methods. Both will not work. The RIAA's method is infinitely infinitely worse. The other method, it's a little better, right? It's going to cost you some more money. That won't work either. If they put if they made blank CDRs $10 a pop, there's going to be ways around it. People will be freaking smuggling CDRs out of America into Canada. People will be creating their own portable MP3 devices. You watch. It will happen. The only way that they are going to win this war, like this war on terrorism and this war on drugs, is to make good music at good prices. Am I a genius? Or change your business model, like iTunes, like Napster, and like, oh my God, Walmart, who's doing it for 88 cents a pop now.
And that's, you know, if now, I'm no business guru, right? You know, I know very little about business, relatively speaking. But if I had a customer base, and I thought that my customer base was going to the competition, and the competition, let's not mince words here, the competition is free music, infinitely accessible. Okay? If I saw my competition going to that, my customers going to that, I would probably try to meet them in the middle a little bit.
Yeah.
No, like iTunes, like sure. Walmart. And that's just, I don't know, man.
Right, didn't iTunes just announce that they had like 20, and I may be totally off with this number, but like 25 million downloads, something like that?
I wouldn't doubt it.
At a buck a pop?
Mm-hmm.
I'm telling you, you're right, you're right, you're an absolute genius, Bland. You are CEO of RFA Inc.
What?
Right now.
How much does it pay?
It pays nothing, but we'll talk about that later.
All right.
Yeah, that is, you know what, that is very good news, Bland. Three pieces of good news. That's unbelievable. That might be a first in RFA history. Three pieces of good news. Well, hot damn!
You know what, though? Let me jump back on this train for a second. Okay, an iPod is $4.
I thought you could get cheap ones for $3.
You can?
Yeah. Okay.
But, you know, we're talking top line. We're talking the 40 gigger.
Okay.
We're talking about Big Mama Jamma. And, I'm going to chase another rabbit here. He's talking to a friend about my quandary and how I settled on a PDA, and he said that for an iPod, apparently you can't just like add and remove songs indiscriminately. Like, you've got to re-upload. Like, if you want 40 gigs worth of music, you got to have a 40 gig hard drive, right, for starters. And you've got to re-download your entire collection, then make your alterations, and then re-upload your entire playlist.
Ouch.
Yeah, and I was like, man, that sucks right there.
Yeah.
Apparently, RCA, the new Lyra jukebox,
uh-huh,
is 40 gigs, and from what I understand, it'll play MPEGs.
Ooh.
It's got a little LCD screen.
Cool.
And it'll play like a, it's got its own little video player as well, so you can watch, you know, 40 gigs worth of movies, or, you know, 40 gigs worth of music, or, you know, just whatever you want.
Right.
So that's pretty cool. And there's about $4 too. It's about the same as an iPod. But here's what I'm saying. Let's say the tax. Now, worst case scenario, it says the Copyright Board of Canada imposed a government fee of as much as $25 on an iPod. All right. So let's say I was going to spend $4 on an iPod. What's that other 25? You know what I mean? If you've got the purchasing power to lay it down for one of those, you know, save up the extra week and grab that, you know, that $25. That's not, I mean, that's not really even,
it's incremental, really.
Even, I mean, their methodology is flawed, right?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, even if they, you know, even if they charge you another $25, that's like nothing on a $400 iPod.
Yeah. Yeah, and even, probably even a serious downloader isn't burning 100 discs a week. I mean, shit, 100 discs last me forever. I don't download music. But even, I can't imagine somebody downloading that much music, taking that much time to go to burn through, you know, 1,000 CDs.
I own, and I'm not being facetious here at all, I own about 220, 230 CDs.
Yes, you do. I've seen them.
All of which legally purchased. And I've got CDs I haven't listened to in 2 years. So, if you're just like the download dog.
Whoops.
Even if you were just like the download dog, you couldn't reasonably. A question of ethics. Is it stealing if you just have, or is it stealing like if you make full use of? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like if you have a 2 terabyte hard drive, and you had every CD ever made, right?
Right.
Is that? I mean, that's just braggadocio, you know?
Yeah.
No, that's just obscene.
It is.
Like an iPod plays like continuously for a month or something like that, never hear the same song twice. That's just overt.
Yeah.
You're never gonna do that. So you know, if you just download something, is that wrong? I mean, or you know, at what point do you really have an effect? You know, even the most minuscule effect on the, you know, on the CD sales.
You know, a single person, none. Maybe the millions of people that are quit pirating music all the time. Yeah, I'm sure. I'm sure there is an effect. I'm sure there is.
Is it $3 billion?
I don't know. That's might be the calculations of corporations. You know, if website was defaced and it cost us $300 million to fix it. You know, come on now. I'd have to see where they got their numbers from. You know what? I will give them that. I'm sure it does have an effect, a definite effect.
It has to.
But, and I'm using but here, and that is adversarial, but the way to fix that is to not harass, you know, and downright torture poor little 12-year-old girl, your potential customers, for crying out loud. I'm definitely not buying that Clay Aiken CD now.
Yeah, me either.
Motherfuckers. Bastards.
I'm impressed. You know who Clay Aiken is. Let me just throw that in there.
Stank.
Oh, yeah.
It's all from Stank. Props to Stank. You know, and guess what? We're lucky. We're fortunate. Because we have, you know, a thirst, right? We have a yearning for more. You know, we want the underground. We want the knowledge, right? So we listen to alternative radio shows. Internet radio shows, some on the regular radio. We all listen to things like RFA, CCCPR, Default Radio, BinRev, HWHQ. I could go on and on.
In the now.
Yes, in the now. Gamer, I'm sorry, that's the website, HWHQ. Right? That's what I listen to. That's what I'm downloading. If I had an iPod, it'd be filled with freaking talk radio, baby.
See, that's my thing. I mean, that's like another thing I'm getting to. If I had a 40 gig iPod, I'd have like the Toastmaster now. I'd have like blast, you know, like the complete RFA compendium.
Absolutely. Damn.
Someone wants to talk to you.
Yeah, after we stop for the phone calls, I'll call. And speaking of which, let's move on.
It's good news, but let's not relish in it. We have international phone calls to make.
That's right. We have work to do. All right, so let's start the phone calls right now. Let's start with a couple of little things here. I won't go over this, but I will go over this. I have AT&T Wireless, and I like them. They're doing okay. Well, guess what? Oh, I'm so happy. Because I was so confused before, I could, you know, barely make heads or tails out of my bill. That's right. Introducing your new and improved...
Voicemail.
Thank you. Your new and improved wireless bill. Oh, man. Thank you. I mean, I was just so confused. I thought it was in Chinese every time I read my previous bills. Take a moment to see for yourself how your wireless bill is now even easier to understand. Wow. We take seriously the trust you put in us to serve your wireless needs. Oh, God. I'm going to cry. So, we want to make sure it's easy to understand how your wireless service is billed. That's why we've improved the design of your monthly wireless bill to make it cleaner, better organized, and easier to read and understand. And it goes through your account summary, where's this, where's that, the numbers, change of address forms, recurring electronic funds transfer, all this crap, including their automated customer service numbers. Yeah, you know, this is just, wow, thank you so much, AT&T. Let's review briefly. Their old bills, you know, you got your regular 8.5 by 11 paper, right? That's what the new bill is. The old bills, they were... you know, probably on like 6-inch paper. It was a couple inches skinnier. My guess is that it's much cheaper to buy in bulk 8.5 by 11 paper to zip through your printers than that crappy little paper they were using before.
All right.
What's that?
Let me just completely and totally agree with you on this.
Oh, thank you. That's absolutely why we have different bills now. I'm sure the envelopes are cheaper. It's all standard size. Everything is going to this, right? Zips are their big two-color laser printers, and we're done. So that's why they did it. Not to make it new and improved, easier to read. Honestly, I'm looking at it. I don't see a damn thing that looks that much different. Nothing. It all looks the freaking same.
Come on. The font's a little bigger.
Yeah, I was saying it's wider. Exactly. Otherwise, it looks the freaking same. God, it makes me mad. Okay. You know, why don't they just say that? You know, if they put an insert in there that said, yeah, you got these, you know, the bill's got a new look because it's cheaper to make them this way. I'd say, okay, cool.
And you know what? I bet they do, in some sort of minuscule way, pass those savings on to you. That would have been good enough news, right?
Maybe so they could cut prices and increase volume, yes. And then, therefore, increase profits. Yes, there's absolutely no way they want to profit. And I'm not talking to you, Brian. I'm just talking in general, right? To the ether. It's all they want is profits. So yeah, if I could benefit from it, great. But they just want profits. That's all it's about. So I can't blame them. That's what businesses are for. I want to call. You know what? Can I call a number first before we cut and make the international calls? I want to call a number. And I don't know if we've called this yet. Have we? It's 800. Are you legit?
I'm too legit to quit. Now, I don't know.
Yeah. Dude, I'm doing the hammer dance right now.
Yeah, me too.
Hammer dance. I'm wearing my hammer pants. Okay, let's call it. Be right back. Crap. Are you legit?
Thank you for calling Microsoft Anti-Piracy Hotline. Our business hours are Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. Pacific Time, except holidays. Thank you for calling Microsoft. Goodbye.
Pirates never sleep!
Dude, I never saw Johnny Depp sleep once in Pirates of the Caribbean.
Bastards!
Yeah, I think I'm such a raging boner for pirates. You know, like...
And stay up till 9 frickin' o'clock.
Yeah, why do they come out at 4:30?
Bitches. And they're on the left coast.
And they're like Redmond, right?
Yeah, who was? God.
They're so concerned about piracy that they're bound to, like, you know, like the latest hour in our country. That's like in New York City. It's like, what, 3 hours behind, right? So if they close at 5, that's like 2.
Mm-hmm.
2 Eastern, yeah, right?
It's pretty brutal.
5 Pacific, that's lame.
Yeah. Way to go. Way to protect your assets there. Okay.
Rock on.
All right, let's, you know, I got to preface a couple of things first. I got some great emails. I've been holding on to these. Three things, actually. First, which one did I get first? Let's look at the dates. Okay, first, this one was from Decoder, and this is awesome. He listened to RFA 91, where we talk about the... Walmart thing again. I'm going through here. La, 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 la. Oh, he liked that. Wave your flag, go USA, and say the fuck in your house. I like that, too. That was good.
I dug that. That was poignant.
Thank you very much. Check it out. But anyways, if you're interested in some Japanese freaking... Oh, this is awesome. 011-813-3423-1111 is Honda in Tokyo. They will send you owner's manuals for cars free of charge. I have already done it. So if you want the manual for a Honda NSX, that's the Acura NSX, just have it sent to your P.O. box. That is awesome. And there's also the country direct number, which is very cool. We've called that already. That's a lot of fun. So thank you, Dakota. We're going to be calling that, and I'm going to hopefully be getting that manual. I cannot wait. Next, we got one from Twirls. He's been doing some international calling, and he's got two unbelievably cool numbers, and they're in Cambodia. The first, 011-855-23-333-444, starts out with Cambodian and then to English, says something to the effect that this number is not registered with the digital something, so we're going to call that and find out. And the next one, this is really cool. Looks like somebody's been doing some scanning. 011-855-23-222-333, and he says it's a quiet line, so who knows what you could do with that. So thank you, Twirls. We're going to be calling those. Do you want to call that Japanese direct number now?
Yeah.
Okay. We got to think of something better than the time, though. You know, that's so off the hook.
Dude, she... Yeah, let me tell the listeners. We called this, a while back when we... I'm telling you, the show notes for RFA, I kid you not, are ring ring, what up, Bland, it's Duel.
Absolutely.
What up, Duel? And then clicky clicky, and we're off. Right? But we called this number, and she was like konnichiwa, and I was like, that's like half my Japanese vocabulary, mind you, is konnichiwa. She was like konnichiwa, and then like a bunch of other Japanese words, and then Duel was like, what time is it in Tokyo? She's like, oh yeah, it's a, and she just like broke it off in English.
Oh, straight up.
Like that's so tight. I love you.
Oh, no doubt, man, no doubt. She sounded hot. No, I'm sorry. No, that's absolutely phenomenal. I mean, they can... I took Spanish in school. I can read. I could probably get around. I grew up in the Southwest, for crying out loud. I'd better be able to get around, right? But to bust a language, right? An ocean away, right? I mean, we got... I definitely can't speak Spanish. Or Canadian, for crying out loud. You know, just... Just thank me, I don't know. It's just amazing. We're just so...
This is ridiculous.
We're so myopic.
Yeah. And English is so hard to learn anyway because everyone speaks their own English. I mean, if you learn, try to learn English, right?
Yeah.
And, try to teach people when and when not to say for shizzle.
Yeah, exactly.
Because we all speak, being Americans, we bastardize everything anyway, right? Look what we did to sushi. We've got the California roll.
Yeah, that's lovely.
Yeah, that's such a bastardization. That's what we do with everything. We take a good idea from a foreign country. We take something sacred, and then we wrap it in plastic and call it American.
Oh, that was good.
I digress.
Oh, man.
So, anyway, and English, it's hard to learn. And, you use some contractions. You weren't speaking like guttural street English or anything, but, it wasn't the Queen's certified English. It wasn't according to Hoyle English.
Right.
She's like, hey, what's up? What time is it in Tokyo? And she's like, she broke it off.
Yep. It was amazing.
And, and she knew. I mean, that was just... That's masterfully done, and I'll bet you, and I'm going to handicap this here because we know that English is just ungodly hard to speak.
Yeah, hominem much? I mean, come on. Yeah, the object of sentences we're crying out loud is just totally opposite, right?
Yeah,
it's
and she broke it off. And I'll handicap it. She spoke English. Like, it would take me longer to learn Japanese than it did to take her to learn English. I'm convinced.
Yeah. 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 Props to her. Well, let's call it. And I'm actually going to ask for the number to, it's not NTT. What did they say? KDD? I can't remember. But I'm going to ask the number for NTT, which is, Nippon Telephone. I know a bit of Japanese, but it's all like, you know, shine and freaking nane, you know. Was it nande? Anyways.
What was that?
Crap, like, well, shine means die. I just know stuff from, like, anime, you know. Nani? Yeah, what? That's what it is. Nani, shine. Yeah. Basic stuff. Okay, where'd that number go? Let's call it... Kidoki. There you go. Zenkutsukudachi. Garambarai, stuff like that.
Whatever he just said.
Okay. Here we go. Love the ring.
こちらは KDDI です。まもなくオペレーターが応答いたしますので、そのままでお待ちください。
お電話ありがとうございます。KDDI 国際電話センター山本でございます。
Yes, ma'am. Could I please have the number to NTT?
NTT, all right. One moment, please.
Thank you so much.
I'll check with my domestic operator. Please hold the line.
Rad.
Listening to a lot of J-pop radio, specifically JapanRadio.com. Sometimes you can find them on even the very first page of Shoutcast.
Sorry to keep you waiting, sir.
That's
what
okay.
What kind of a phone number are you looking within the company?
Actually, a main number, if I could.
Main number. All right. Well, I ask that, and They don't really have a main number. It's all in branches. So do you have a specific branch or a directory that you want to have?
Yeah. Can I get their directory assistance number?
All right. Sure. One moment, please.
Thank you so much.
Kyoto.
Find the main number.
Oh, thank you so much.
All right, the area code is 3. The number is 5359-5111.
So that's 5359-5111.
Yes, sir.
Area code 3. Thank you so much.
Have a nice day.
You too.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
That was awesome.
Arigato.
Arigashimasu. Yes, that was frickin'... Domenato gozaimashita. Domenagato gozaimashita. Yes, domenagato gozaimashita. That's, you know, you can say domo. Anyways.
Am I a complete retard because I thought that was awesome?
No. Because I thought it was awesome, too. She was so nice.
And you know, listeners, I was not lying. We, you know, she was like, you know, domo. And, you know, obviously she was like, thank you for calling, you know, us.
Right.
And, you know, home of a whopper or whatever it is she says afterwards. And Duel busted out the English, and she broke it out with a, you know, Wisconsin accent. You know,
dude, didn't miss a beat.
Yeah, just tore it off.
Dude, her accent was awesome. I mean, she was, wow, actress material right there.
Yeah, that's nuts, man. That's awesome.
That was really, really good. So we got the number for NTT, their main number, apparently. Maybe we will call them as well. And that's 81, by the way, is their country code. There's three. Great. Yeah, in fact, we'll call them as well. That was awesome. Again, I was listening. I don't know if she popped in. I've been listening to a lot of J-pop radio at japanradio.com. JAPANARadio.com. Just cool stuff. You know, I just love just different cultures, and that's one culture I'm definitely enamored with. So, we cut it off, and we make some calls. We'll mix it up, and everybody can download the show and enjoy it, hopefully.
Wait.
Yep. Please.
Please hold the line.
Yeah. Please hold the line, and I will not be speaking Japanese. Please listen to other shows. Okay, there's a lot of stuff. You don't have to. You know what? I guarantee your time is better spent listening to Good Talk Radio, like all the shows I mentioned before, than trying to shuffle through the CDs at Best Buy and hoping you find a good one. Okay, trust me. Okay, Bland. Thank you very much. We may or may not come back. Probably not. Enjoy the phone calls. I almost forgot to talk about Pinzu. I just listened to EP5 of Default Radio this past weekend. Loved every second of it, by the way. I love that stuff. I could listen to those guys for hours, and I do. And Briscativo's on there, Very Leaf Freak, and he talked about Pinzu, PINZOO.com, and said they got great rates. And he also emailed me about the same thing. So guess what? I went there, checked it out. I bought, the platinum. I bought a platinum, $20. Good rates. You know, you'll see it. You go there and you look at the silver, the gold, platinum, titanium, and you'll see the different rates, the different fees, things like that. Good stuff. And I got my PIN instantly. You have to give them a real landline number because they have to call you back and verify it. So make sure you do that. And that's what we're going to be using. So thank you very much, Brisk. We're going to be using Pinzu to make these calls, and enjoy them.
本日の電話受付業務は終了いたしました。受付時間は平日9時から19時までとなりますので、ご了承くださいませ。なお、電話のご使用につきましては、局番なしの111-3番、お話し調べにつきましては、局番なしの111-4番と受けたまっております。当社のサービスに関するご意見、ご要望は、平日9時から17時まで、フリーダイヤル0120-019-0000で受けたまっております。お電話ありがとうございました。
Ice cream man! Ice cream! Truck coming!
マイドありがとうございます。こちらはNTT東日本でございます。本日の電話受付業務は終了いたしました。受付時間は平日9時から17時までとなりますので、ご了承くださいませ。 なお、電話のご承認につきましては、局番なしの113番、お話し調べにつきましては、局番なしの111-4番と受けたまっております。当社のサービスに関するご意見。
Sorry, the number you dialed has not been registered in the digital GSM 1800 network. Thank you.
Hi, yes, I'm a teacher in the United States, and I was wondering if I can order a Japanese manual for my Insight, please.
Hello, this is Honda Moto. May I help you?
Hi, yes.
Or motorcycle?
Automotive, please.
Automotive. Insight?
Insight, yes, ma'am. Hybrid.
I will put through to the customer service department. Is it okay?
That would be great. Thank you.
Come on, please.
Thank you.
Beethoven?
I can't hear it. Okay, did you notice that you actually get a human when you call?
So odd.
Yeah, call a U.S. company and not get an automated...
Duelist to better serve you that you don't need a human.
Attendant. Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. I forgot. Obviously, a machine can always interpret what I need.
Oh, naturally. What if you need a cheeseburger?
Yeah. I need more cup holders in my NSX.
Yes, my NSX Type 0 is not fast enough.
I should ask for a manual for a Skyline GTR.
Oh. Oh, dream car.
Hello?
Hello?
Hello? This is Ishmi speaking. Can I have your name, please?
Sure. My name is Jim Wachowski. I'm known... I'm a teacher here in the U.S. I have a Honda Insight, and I wanted to show the kids in my class, I shouldn't say that, the young people in my class, what a Japanese manual for this hybrid vehicle would look like. I was wondering if I could order one, please.
Detail of Insight to your student?
Yes, sir. Is it possible to get a Japanese manual for the Insight?
Manual? Owner's manual?
Yes.
Manual for Insight?
Yes.
In English version?
Japanese version, please.
Japanese?
Yes.
Can you read Japanese?
A little.
Oh. Okay. Japanese manual. I'll ask to appropriate person, and we will call or email. Okay.
Okay.
They have your phone number and if you have email address.
I will give you my email address. It is dual, D-U-A-L.
Sorry, the repeat again?
Sure. It's D as in David, U-A. Oh, you know what? How about I email you guys first? Would that be easier? How about I email you first and to request the manual?
Okay. Hold on, please.
Sure.
I'll tell you my email address.
Okay.
hm.homda.co.jp.
Beautiful.
hm.homda.co.jp.
Thank you so much.
You.
Have a good day.
Bye.
こちらは KDDI です。市外局番の最初の0を除いてもう一度ダイヤルしてください。
This is KDDI. Please dial again omitting the first zero of the area code. KDDI. The number you've dialed is not in service. Please check the number and dial again.
こちらは KDDI です。おかけになった電話番号は現在使われておりません。番号をお確かめの上、おかけ直しください。
Spider-Man thought he was bad. He was screwing my day up. He was bothering my girlfriend. He tried to cut her out of $70. I was Spider-Man's ass. I was Spider-Man's ass. I was Spider-Man's ass. I was Spider-Man's ass. Spider-Man messed with my girlfriend. Spider-Man wrapped his arms around her with my bedroom door closed. Suddenly I opened the bedroom door on Spider-Man's sneaky ass. I'll call him kissing my girlfriend and beat him to a pulp with a rubber hose. I whip Spider-Man's ass. I whip Spider-Man's ass. I whip Spider-Man's ass. I whip Spider-Man's ass.